This is a wonderful summary of that great truth that was rediscovered and clarified for us during the Protestant Reformation, justification by faith alone. But it's more than just Reformed theology. This is practical theology. It's the key to understanding how you and I can enjoy confidence and assurance even when we've had a really bad day. Let's begin with the question, what's the point of justification by faith alone? Why do I need to be justified? Why are we going to talk about this? Well, we need it because there's a problem. In a word, that problem is sin. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We say and do things that we shouldn't. We don't say and do things that we should. We're not the people that God created us to be. We've missed the mark of perfection. We are messed up. At the very core of our being, there is something that is wrong, and we are offensive to God. And it affects everybody, even the nicest people around us. Look back at verses 10, 12 of chapter 3, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And the consequences are pretty bad. And Paul has already said, chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. And he'll say it again, chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. If sin wasn't here in the world and in us, we wouldn't have bad days. We'd be able to glorify God and to enjoy Him as He originally intended for us. We need to be made right. We need to be justified. But what exactly does it mean? What does that mean to be justified? Justification is not a word that most of us use in our day-to-day conversations. It's a Bible word. It's in the Bible, chapter 4, verse 25, speaking of Jesus Christ. He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. The word justify is a Bible word, chapter 3, verse 20, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. But in our common everyday English, justify means something different from what is meant in the Bible. Usually it means to make excuses. You do something wrong and then you try to justify yourself by making an excuse. You know, I would not have run into your car out there in the parking lot if you only knew how to park. You know, we make an excuse. We come up with some kind of excuse for our bad behavior. I would not have stolen that money if only my employer had paid me what I'm really worth. You would not have known those ugly things that I said in my emails if the Russians hadn't hacked my account. We justify ourselves by coming up with reasons to excuse our bad behavior. That is not what God does with us and with our sin. God doesn't look at us and say, well, he meant well. He's got a good heart. He had a good reason to sin. I'm just going to let him slide. What God does is to take our sin and to drag it out in the open, to show us that he sees it and that we see it, and then he deals with it as it needs to be dealt with. Justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in his sight. There's two parts to that definition of justification. He pardons, he forgives, he chooses not to hold our sins against us. It's so easy to say, but if you think about how you struggle to forgive somebody and to think of what God has promised that he's going to do, pardons, forgives, chooses not to hold any of them against us. Look over at chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, where Paul is quoting from Psalm 32. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Every bad thing that you have ever done, forgiven. Every sin that you're guilty of, covered over so that he will never see it again. All your bad behavior, bad thoughts, and the bad stuff that comes out of your mouth is gone forever. But justification means even more. It's not just taking away the bad, it's giving us something that's really good. It's not just forgiving our sins, it's giving us something that is really good and something that we lack and something that we need. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. This was Martin Luther's great discovery 499 years ago, as it was his task to lecture through the book of Romans. And he says that he came across these words, the righteousness of God, and he hated God because of them. He would read these words and he would think God's righteousness being revealed makes him look good and makes me look really bad. And so therefore I've got to work as hard as I can in order to keep God happy. He hated God. Every time he read those words, the righteousness of God. And then the Spirit of God opened his mind, opened his heart. And he began to see the truth. God's righteousness is being revealed to me as a gift. It's being given to me, handed over to me. God's giving me his goodness in place of my badness. In the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. He pardons everything that's wrong, and he provides everything that is right and good. This is something that God does. We don't have to work off our debt of sin. We don't have to do all of the work and then prove somehow to God that we are worthy of his love or of forgiveness, because we're doing the best we can here, God. It's an act of God. Justified, verse 24, justified by his grace as a gift. It's something that God does. And it is an act. It is not a process. It is not something that takes over a period of time. It's not something that goes on throughout your entire life and gets stronger and stronger until you get to the point of death and hopefully you have reached that place of perfection. It is an act. It happens as we only can think in terms of time. It happens in a point of time. Roman Catholic Church of Luther's day and most Protestants today. My New Testament professor at Reformed Theological Seminary said 90% of mainline Protestant Christians believe exactly what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. That is, you're saved by grace. That is, God gives you some grace to get you started, and you work with it, and you try to do the best with what God gives you. So you can say, I'm being saved by grace, but I've got to really work with what is here and do my very best. In the words of John F. Kennedy, a good Roman Catholic, God helps those who help themselves. You know, God will help you, and then you've got to start doing the baby steps. You've got to do what needs to be done with the grace that God gives you so that you can perfect yourself, and you will become more and more justified as you go along. And hopefully at the end, if not, you can go to purgatory or something. Something else can happen. But that was the thought world that was going on with Martin Luther, and still is the thought world of many people today as they think about their relationship to God. A lifelong process. The Bible says that it happens here and now, and it's by an act of God. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we are right now presently having peace with God. Or Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Right now, no condemnation. Completely justified, pardoned, clothed with the righteousness of Christ. When you're having a really bad day, discouraged, doubting God's love, you feel lost, frustrated, remember what God has already done for you in this great act of grace, justification by faith. The second question, very briefly, why does God want to justify me? Why would God want to do this? Why me? I mean, why would he want to justify me? You know, why bother? What difference does it make to God? I deserve to have bad days. I deserve to have a bad life. Every sin deserves God's wrath and curse, both in this life and in the life to come. I deserve to be shut out of heaven forever. Why would God ever want to completely forgive my sin and start treating me as though I had never sinned or been a sinner? In a word, what is it? Grace. Verse 24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift. And our call to worship, Paul in Ephesians, by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. We sang it last week. Why was I made to hear his voice when thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? Why? We haven't earned it. We haven't done a thing to get it. God doesn't owe us a thing. We're the ones having a bad day and we deserve it. We're the ones constantly falling short of his glory and doing things that are contrary to what he wants. Why in the world would God want to justify me and make me his beloved child? There is only one answer. His grace. And then finally, how can God do this? How can God justify me by faith alone? You know, on one hand, it doesn't sound right. Somebody gets arrested for some crime in our community, and they get off without being punished. Especially if they're a repeat offender, Somebody driving under the influence hits a car, kills a child. You discover, oh, they got arrested for that, 2 years ago. Somebody like that who gets off, there's outrage. That's not right. It's the same with us. How can God just forgive me when I'm a repeat offender? I've done so much that's wrong and it offends God. I've never lived up to His expectations and I'm going to do it again. I'm going to sin again. The answer starts in verse 24. We are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. Our crimes don't go unpunished. God sends His Son into the world. Jesus gets punished. He takes our place. He pays the penalty. He suffers the death that we deserve. God takes our sin, all of our sin, past, present, future sin, all of our sin, and places it on Jesus Christ, His Son, on the cross. We don't have time to talk about it, but He descended into hell. Calvin says that moment when our sins separated Jesus from His Father, and He didn't call Him Father, He called Him My God. It's that moment where Jesus bears our sin and suffers in our place, and His Father has to turn away. In this way, what God does is just. It is right. It's the right thing to do. It fulfills the demands of justice. That's the point in our confession in 1 John where we say, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. He is doing the right thing because He's not just letting us go. Our sins are being punished in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so God's doing the right thing and we get to live. Verse 26, it was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And it's that last phrase that shows us how it all becomes a reality in my life and in your life. The one who believes in Jesus, the one who has faith in Jesus. It's through faith alone. Faith hears what God says and responds by saying, yes. Amen. Yes. Yes, I agree, God, with what You are saying. Faith reaches out and receives Jesus Christ Himself, embraces Him, and finds a resting place in Him alone. You do that to become a Christian in the first place, but you do that every day as a Christian. That's why you are sometimes referred to as a believer, because you are believing. You are actively putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And so you have a bad day, you blow it, you sin, you feel the weight of your guilt, you're frustrated, you're discouraged, you begin to doubt your salvation, the love of God. God's going to get you now. You begin to think that God's tired of you. I start praying to God and God rolls His eyes. Here He comes again. Here she comes again. Don't try to come up with ways to work your way back into the favor of God. By faith, rest upon Jesus and all that God has already done for you in Him. God's gift is received by faith, and faith alone. Roman Catholic writers take issue with Martin Luther's German translation of Romans 3. You realize that Luther translated the New Testament. He translated a lot of things. He translated the Quran, Grimm's fairy tales, all kinds of Aesop's fables and stuff. But one of the things he did was to translate the New Testament, and Roman Catholic writers point to his rendering, the German translation, where Luther inserts the phrase here, faith alone. And the Catholic rightly points out that that phrase, faith alone, only occurs once in the entire New Testament. And where it occurs is in James 2, where we are told that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Our Roman Catholic friends make three mistakes here. First of all, they fail to see that James is talking about something different. James is talking about being justified not before God, but before people. Paul talks about being justified by faith before God and putting us in a right relationship with God. James is talking about being justified by our works before people, because people can't see our faith unless they see our works. Our faith must result in works, something that can be seen by others. James and Paul are on two different pages. Secondly, our friends in the Roman Catholic Church fail to see that Luther wasn't the first to do this. He didn't pull this out of a hat. He didn't just make this up when he's translating the New Testament. Oh, I think I'll stick some of my theology in here and make Paul say something. Luther's job was to lecture for the Roman Catholic Church on the New Testament, on the Old Testament. And he was to study all of the church fathers. 1,000 years before Luther, the Latin church fathers were using this phrase when they came to Romans 3. It is faith alone. And then thirdly, they fail to see that Luther was compelled to use faith alone due to the context. How many ways can you say it? I mean, if he had said faith alone, but what Paul does is he says it every other way so that there's no mistake. Just look at the context. Verse 20. By the works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight. Verse 21. God's righteousness is manifested apart from the law. Verse 22. The righteousness of God through faith. And again, for all who believe. Verse 24. Justified by his grace as a gift. Verse 25, to be received by faith. Verse 26, the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. How many ways can you say that it's a free gift through faith plus nothing? It's faith alone. Now, what about that bad day? Those really bad days that we are all going to have. If you haven't had one yet, it's coming. You sin. Again. Same old way that you've sinned so many times before. You are a repeat offender. You feel trapped. Discouraged, lost your way, you see so little progress in your life as a Christian. But you are a Christian, and so you do what Christians do. You will do what Christians do, and that is that you pray. You'll confess your sin. You'll say that you're sorry. You'll ask for forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But you don't feel forgiven. You feel frustrated, depressed, discouraged, wondering, how could God ever love me? On those days, take your Bible and open it to the book of Romans. Read what God says. You don't have to read the whole thing. Just look at chapter 3. You open your Bible, you look at Romans, you say, here I am, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is me. But then you read the other things that God says. Justified by grace as a gift. That is me. Redeemed by the blood of Christ poured out on the cross. That's me. Faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. The one who has faith in Jesus. That is me. Lawless deeds forgiven. Sins covered. The Lord will not count sin against me. Yes, I'm having a bad day. It's a really bad day, and I'm discouraged. This is frustrating. I don't feel forgiven. But this is what God says. He says it in His Word. You and I are still justified by faith alone in Christ alone, even on the worst day of our life. Let's pray.